Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And great to be here with you, Daniel Lim.
Fantastic. All right, so
I gave up on the changed intro. I'm just giving up on it.
Well, you gave up on it, but you still mentioned it, so.
I'm not going to mention it. This is my last mention. I'm disappointed that I, co-host of the podcast, can't have any slight impact to change one word, but I'm moving on.
All right. So as the co-host of our podcast, as another co-host of the podcast.
Who has no influence.
I asked a question on Twitter and I asked, hey, what keeps you up at night when it comes to multiplication, when it comes to church leadership, what keeps you up at night? And here is one of the questions that was submitted. I'm a serial church planner working to transition a traditional church towards a missional mindset. How do you stay patient in this situation? And this is from Steve Erickson.
Don't be a serial church planner trying to transition an established church to a missional mindset. Wow. Okay. There's a lot in that sentence. So let's start with you, Daniel Lim. What brilliant, because here's an irony for you. You're now helping to transition, maybe you're helping to lead a more traditional church. And what are you thinking about these things?
Yeah. So the acronym, I don't want to go straight to tools and constructs, but Dave and John Ferguson and at Community Christian Church, they have this great acronym, BLESS. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and story. And to be honest, as we looked at all the different ways to transition Beulah, this is when I was a part of Beulah before coming to Lifeway, to transition Beulah from a traditional church toward a missional mindset. That was one of the best tools that we had to do that. Now, we were a huge alpha church, still are a huge alpha church, and it's neat to see the number of people that are coming to know Christ through that tool, through those weeks, and also the way that we've been able to disciple our church in and through that. But honestly, the BLESS acronym has been huge just to make evangelism normal, right? So I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and evangelism to me was I was going to invite a friend occasionally to church. I didn't know how to share my faith. I didn't know what it meant to be missional wherever I was, where I was seeing the school that I was going to, where I was working as my missionary place. I didn't see that. I wasn't discipled in that way. All I was asked to do is to occasionally invite a friend to church. And when I would do that, they would never come back. And I wouldn't really know what to do with that. So when I was in university, I joined Campus Crusade for Christ, and I learned how to go and do random evangelism all throughout the cafeteria, right? And it was either the spiritual survey that I would pull out, would you like to talk about spiritual things? Or it was the whole, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? And back then, some people said no, and others I was able to engage in a conversation with, and I saw people come to know Christ and through that, and people, Christians, backslidden Christians, recommit their lives toward Christ. But it wasn't necessarily a reproducible model, and neither do I think it's going to be as effective tool today as it might have been before. So that's why the BLESS acronym was so helpful, because it really normalizes what it means to be a missionary wherever you live, work, and play, right? Every day you're waking up and you're like, you're beginning with prayer. You're like, Lord, here I am. I ask that you direct my steps today. You then listen, right? You listen to those that you are interacting with at work and in the neighborhood and everywhere that you are going. You're listening, you're being present. You eat, right? You're eating on a regular basis with those who don't know God. You are serving them. And then as you do that, natural opportunities will come up to begin sharing your story. So it's not a silver bullet, right? It's not the only thing that's going to help you move toward that, but it has definitely been a helpful construct and a tool. What do you think, Ed?
Yeah, I think so. I think broadly, I think the caller needs to think about the long haul and needs to be thinking more that this is a, I think transitioning an established church, which I don't know my guess is there's some transitioning needed because it's declining or whatever else it may be, not reaching its community to a missional church is there's just so much, there's so much in that sentence. So what I would say is I'm going to put some things between those mm-hmm. things, and I want to put between those things, church revitalization. I think you need a church revitalization strategy because right now going from an established declining church to some sort of missional expression of church, you've got a lot of things to address. I mean, you could just teach and preach about, you know, John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so send I you, teach people to live on mission. But you've got systems that are probably broken. You've got relationships that are not thriving. You've got small groups of some sort that are not working. And by the way, I did a whole course on this at Mission Group, and it's called Renew Your Church. If you want to listen, look at it, just, you know, go to edstetzer.com and it's there. And I've got some free resources there, several free videos that people can follow. But I this is a church revitalization project that at the end of which, and on the journey to, the missional focus should be evident. I think all good church revitalization is going to ultimately get the church to be more fruitfully and faithfully on mission. But I guess when I hear a serial church planter, for those of you who don't know what that means, that doesn't mean someone who likes, you know, bananas and milk and puts some the cereal in it.
Yeah.
It means a person who's planted several churches. And sometimes I don't know that I'm a serial church planter because I plant and I'd stay for like 3, 4, 5 years back in the day. So I think I debate whether or not I'm a founding pastor, goes to found another church. But a serial church planter might be 1 or 2 years, and you can't do what God is probably wanting to do in that church in a 1 or 2 year thing. So you got to change your mindset. You got to realize it's a long, hard slog. You got to realize you got to love people in a way. You don't love them and leave them, but you love them and stay with them. You got to learn who they are, understand their culture, go through a process of church revitalization. Please read Comeback Churches. I write a lot about that, and I talk about transitioning declining churches into missional churches. So, and I mentioned the course we did. I mean, this is a passion for me. You can tell it's a passion for me.
Yeah.
That one sentence, you know, serial church planner I heard, established church I heard, and I heard missional church. Those are, you just need to take that one sentence and blow it out into a 3, 4, 5 year journey that you're going to lovingly walk through with people. I think it's doable. I think it's exciting. I think it's a great opportunity. But you're going to have to change who you are to some degree, because you're a serial church planter. This is not another church to plant. You've got to move beyond that. And the end result is, right? The end result is a church that's living on mission. I think that can make a difference.
Yeah. Let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll get back into it. You've probably heard about the movie Overcomer, but you may not know that there are a few books and Bible studies inspired by the film. One is called Define by Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, which is a book and Bible study based on insights from the book of Ephesians. You can find these books and Bible studies at lifeway.com/overcomer. So Ed, it's interesting how you talked about this idea of the serial church planner working toward transitioning a traditional church toward a missional mindset. And sometimes when you think of the profile of a serial church planner, it's hard for them to stay in a single place. Maybe it's not even that they're called to stay in a single place for a long period of time. Yet if you're wanting to transition a traditional church toward a missional mindset and they were to follow your advice about revitalization, this is not necessarily a one-year gig. Right. I mean, this is something that they need to stay in for the long haul. So given the fact that Steve left this question, we have to assume that he is called, right? As a serial church planner, that he has been called by God to transition this church. So what advice would you give him, this highly entrepreneurial type of leader who would rather be in a church plant starting something from scratch? No, God has called him to transition this traditional church toward a missional mindset. What advice would you give him so that he sticks in it and doesn't leave prematurely?
I think I would, you know, just decide to ask the question, how do I take what I normally do in a year and a half and make it into 5 to 7 years? Because that's typically what you're going to need to even see some of those breakthroughs. Of course, we don't know. I mean, if this church had a building that seats 300 and is down to 20 people, they're willing to make substantial changes. So we don't know. That's always the challenge with these questions. Mm-hmm. We don't know all the details. But I would say, I would think in terms of what does it look like to be a pastor long-term, and in the process of being a pastor long-term, to be effective and fruitful in that ministry. And that feels different than being a church planner. Now again, I know this in part because I've done this and walked through this taking over years. You can be a transitional pastor. So I took some of my church planning skills and I was a transitional pastor and I help people make those transitions. But I don't, and this is key, but I don't think that the gifts and skills I needed to be a church planner are the same gifts and skills I need to be a long-term turnaround pastor. It's just a different feel. So what would that mean? That means just thinking, how am I going to disciple people over the multiple time periods? I think, too, the big thing, Daniel, is I think they got to think in terms of when you're a church planner, you're starting from scratch and you're creating systems. Here, you're fixing and retooling broken systems.
That's right.
With people who are in those systems and people who are in charge of those systems. And this is where it just takes longer. It's more relational. It's a lot of, you know, two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. But I think it's a beautiful thing if you'll walk with it. But it's a harder. I would say this. It's always harder. And this is what, if he's been a serial church planner, you're going to find it's harder to do church revitalization than church planting, largely because it's easier to birth a baby than it is to raise the dead. And you're trying to bring about some life transformation in what's probably got some dead parts in the church, if not substantial dead parts in the church.
So for a new pastor walking into a situation, right? Let's just stick with this situation because we're talking about revitalization, right? So a pastor is walking into a established church. Are you more of the proponent that they wait at least a year or if not longer before introducing a large amount of change? Or are you more on the side of, no, go in and change because they've brought you in and they expect that?
It depends upon the state and condition of the church. If the church is in drastic, dire straits, you know, I mean, we talked about this before when I was the interim pastor of what was just until recently your church. You know, it had declined from thousands to 600, services of 300 in a building that sat 3,000. And so I had to come in like an emergency room doctor and say, we got to do this right now, or we're weeks away from bankruptcy. And so I made changes. I mean, I fired's too strong a word. I eliminated the positions of over a dozen people my first week. You know, they had a part-time orchestra librarian being paid by the church, that, you know, different life than the church as you knew it. But so I had to do those things. On the other hand, you know, a church that sees itself as healthy, whether it is healthy or not, but sees itself as healthy, you got to introduce change very, very much more slowly. So in a church that sees itself as healthy or is healthy, you're probably talking a year before you make major changes. If it's a situation where they know and they're bringing you in to make substantive change quickly, you might do it sooner. Not typically day one, but sometimes day one. That's what I had to do at Two Rivers.
Yeah, that's super helpful. And it's neat it's neat that we share that. I mean, obviously we didn't physically overlap at the church, but it's neat to see the growth of the fellowship now and what's happened. And even in talking to some of the longtime members and staffers who experienced the reign of Ed Stetzer, right? Kind of the emergency doc of what you did there. It's neat to see and hear from them how necessary that was for the fellowship to be as healthy as it is now. Right. So
yeah, I think it's a much better place now and it's good to see. I mean, that's because, you know, I actually went there too. And I was a volunteer church planner. I'm not church planner, volunteer interim pastor. They couldn't afford to pay me. And so they were going to pay me. I said, listen, don't pay me at all. We're just going to do blank. And it really worked. And it was exciting to see the Lord use it.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. If you haven't left a question yet for us, be sure to do that. It's free and for us to answer it, it's free as well. It's a beautiful thing about podcasts and we want to help you, right? We want to help you wherever you're at when it comes to church planting, multi-site multiplication, even questions like this where it's about an established church transitioning more toward a missional mindset. I mean, anything that we can do to be helpful to you, leave that question. That's newchurches.com on your computer. You just hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can submit that voicemail there. All right, we'll catch you next time.